Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date, October 10th, 2 days from my birthday. I'm Steven Amasso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, guys, I apologize. I was supposed to have this episode out yesterday, but I kind of came down with a little bit of a throat infection or something. It was super sore to the point where it really hurt to talk for a long period of time, so I had to delay it for a day. But in this episode, we're going to be going over my thoughts between the game between the Packers and the Cowboys, because a lot of people are now worried about the Cowboys, but that's kind of the nature of Cowboy fans to overreact a little bit. I'm sorry, but it's true. And then the Packers, you have something to be excited about here in the team. We're also going to be discussing the Chiefs and the Colts game a little bit, what I think that means for both of those teams. And then I got a question from one of the listeners that he wanted me to answer on the podcast. So I do want to get into that. It will be, again, right after the Packers and the Cowboys discussion. So you don't have to dig around to find your answer. It will be coming up shortly. So to discuss the game between the Packers and the Cowboys, the Packers won this game by a score of 34-24, and it was dominated by the Packers early on, and this was actually a very decent comeback attempt by the Dallas Cowboys. So to start it off, we must talk about the Green Bay Packers, who are playing really well, moving to 4-1 right now. And you could decide which side of the ball you want to praise more. It could be the defense or it could be the offense in this game. I'm going to lead it with Aaron Rodgers, because a lot of people are starting to throw around this idea and narrative that the guy is washed. And while I will say he's not putting up numbers at the same level, and he is not doing these incredible plays as frequently as he was in his prime, he is still one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think it showed itself in this game despite not really showing up on the stats. So Aaron Rodgers finished this game 22 for 34, 230 yards. He didn't have any touchdowns, but he also did not throw a pick in this game. But what really stuck out to me about Aaron Rodgers was there were so many moments where he was pressured, but you could tell he was still in control at those moments despite having defenders right on his back or in his face. And I think that's a very underrated trait, and it really helped open up the game for Aaron Jones, who ended up having a huge day, and I will discuss in a second. So going back to Aaron Rodgers, his ability to recognize the pressure and to make something happen really in a blink of an eye was what really, I think, opened up the game for the Green Bay Packers, because the secondary was doing good, the pressure was there, but it was either Aaron Rodgers finding his safety valve really quick, finding the open man in a second, or it was him just delivering an unbeatable, perfectly accurate pass to his receiver. And typically he was making these throws either on the run or from some weird arm slot. It was just really incredible, I think, what Aaron Rodgers was doing in the game, but it really didn't show up on the stats like I think most will say. So people will look back at this and say Aaron Rodgers didn't play a role in it. That's not true in my eyes. He really did. But now going on to the start of this game from the offensive side, it was Aaron Jones who had 107 yards rushing with 4 touchdowns, but he was also the lead receiver in this game with 75 yards receiving in this game. So it was just a huge game from Aaron Jones. A lot of it, again, was opened up by Aaron Rodgers and his ability to find him, but Aaron Jones in this game was bouncing outside terrifically. There were a ton of times where it looked like they had him contained, but he was able to showcase this elusiveness and break some big runs either to the outside when nothing was there or to hit a hole very quickly inside. Very Devontae Freeman-esque, if I had to compare his performance in this game to somebody. He really does look like an almost spitting image of Devontae Freeman in his prime. So very good performance from Aaron Jones. Now, the defensive side of the ball from the Packers, I was concerned early on in the season as to whether they were legit or not, but they continue to prove why they are a legit defense. And a lot of this is due to the front seven of the Green Bay Packers. These guys have just been dominating, in part due to Preston Smith, who had a sack in this game, in part due to Za'Darius Smith, who had 2 sacks in this game and continues to be one of the most impactful players at his position in the NFL this season. The two of them are just doing tremendous, and then Jaire Alexander, the cornerback, continues to be great. Now, I will say the Amari Cooper did get the best of him quite a bit, but they had this bend but don't break mentality, and I think Jaire Alexander stepped up at times when they needed someone to step up and make a play, and he did just that. So it was a good performance from him as well. So to answer the question whether I think the Packers are legit, and honestly, I think they are, because even the offense, it looks like the offense is just now starting to get the wheels rolling. The defense has already been there. The Packers have always been kind of a one-dimensional team. But now, if they can just ease some of the load off Aaron Rodgers and keep the games close enough for him to make them a fight, then I think this could be a very scary team over there in the NFC North in the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to stamp them with my little stamp of approval that they, in fact, are legit here in 2019. Now, as for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm not panicking just yet. The Cowboys moved to 3-2 with this game. And as I started before, a lot of Cowboy fans are panicking hard right now. A lot of people are really criticizing Dak Prescott, who did have a few bad plays in this game. But you know what? This is still, to me, the best Dallas Cowboys team I've seen since that year with DeMarco Murray and the Dez Bryant catch. Back when Tony Romo was in charge here for Dallas. This is the best team I think I've seen for Dallas since then, and it may be even better than then. And I do think that the year Dak Prescott took over as a starter and Ezekiel Elliott was introduced as the lead back here, I think that was a Super Bowl team if Tony Romo was a quarterback. But I can say that you cannot take Dak Prescott out of that situation in his rookie year, and I hate to reflect on that, but I just think this is one of the better Dallas Cowboy teams. And I think a lot of this is because of their defense, and their defense wasn't playing at as high enough of a level as I would have liked to have seen from them. I think the pressure was there. I think the secondary was good. But like I said, this was just Aaron Rodgers breaking their defense down at a super fast level and finding Aaron Jones. And Aaron Jones just basically just making plays when he had to. The guy was just really making plays, and the Cowboys weren't making tackles. So I do think the Dallas Cowboys defense will have better days. There's just too much talent, too good coaching on the Dallas Cowboys defense for them to be getting blown out like this by the Green Bay Packers in the first half, especially at home. I don't think that's something that we're going to be seeing from them. Now, as for Dak Prescott, the guy is, I guess, like Jared Goff in a way, because Jared Goff really makes these incredible plays and then just makes plays that are like, what are you doing? That's like almost a rookie mistake. That's what Dak Prescott seems to be doing. And this season in particular has been a very, very strong season for Dak Prescott. Even in this game, statistically, he did pretty well. 463 yards, 2 touchdowns, and he had 3 picks. Now, 1 pick wasn't on him. Amari Cooper dropped the ball perfectly into the defensive back's hands. That was not on him. But Dak Prescott also got bailed out of 2 other picks. There was one in the end zone that was intercepted but called back on a kind of bogus play, I would say, a bogus penalty rather. And then there was another one that was just dropped by the defensive back, no other way to put it. And those were all plays that fell on Dak Prescott. They were throws that didn't make sense. The guy wasn't open, or it was just terribly thrown. So I think that's just kind of what you're going to have to deal with Dak Prescott at times. I don't think he's always going to be making these mistakes, but there will be games where things like this happen. But in this game, even then, there were some incredible throws, including one to Amari Cooper, where it was just an over-the-shoulder catch. Nobody else could catch it except Amari Cooper. It was a terrific throw. And then there was a pass to Ezekiel Elliott on the sidelines that was a wheel route, just perfectly lobbed while pressure was in his face. It's throws like that from Dak Prescott that have me saying that this guy is indeed a franchise quarterback. I don't think there's anything in this season that would prove otherwise, despite these kind of bad performances that will be there here and there. I think the Cowboys need to pay him, and he is going to continue to prove this case throughout the season. I think this will be a good year for Dak. Now, as for Amari Cooper just had a tremendous game, continues to show why he's one of the better receivers in the league. He had 11 catches, 226 yards, and a touchdown. And now Michael Gallup, a guy that I've been trying to get in my fantasy league. I send a new trade request for him every single day. The guy's just amazing. He had 7 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Now, I like Michael Gallup so much because the Dallas reporters all offseason were referring to him as the wide receiver 1B. That, you know, Amari Cooper was 1A, but Michael Gallup wasn't a 2. He was just 1B, that he was that good. And I'm really just a big fan of Michael Gallup's game, and I do think that he will really establish himself as one of the more underrated receivers in the league this season. Now, we move on to the question I got on Twitter, and that is from a listener of the podcast. His name is Kurt, and he asked about the Finns cap space in 2020. He said, he asked, are there any rules about how much you have to spend or how much you're allowed to carry over for the next year in terms of the cap space? Now, when you start talking about cap space, I have to say that I'm not an expert. Even to this day, there are things that I'm learning because there's so many intricacies and just complex things when it comes to the NFL and the salary cap. I mean, it led to Omar Kelly, the beat writer for the Dolphins, even saying that it was almost an imaginary number because there's so many ways that you could manipulate it, whether it's by front-loading contracts or back-loading contracts, things having to do with the signing bonus and spreading it out. But there's just so many things about the salary cap in the NFL. But the answer to this that I have, and someone could correct me maybe if I'm wrong, but there is no rule as to how much salary cap that you're allowed to carry over. So you could keep rolling it over and over. But what stops this is that the NFL has a rule in place called the 89% rule, that a team must spend 89% of the salary cap. And this spending of 89% isn't on a per season basis. It's over the course of 4 years. So over the course of 4 years, it must average out to 89% of the cap being spent. But as I said, there are ways to manipulate it. Teams like the Jags were very low on their money spent. Teams like the Browns were in that same situation. So what those teams would do if they're under the 89% and they got to hit it, what they'll do is they'll add a huge signing bonus to a guy, and it will be a huge amount of money that was spent in that 1 year, bump them up closer to that 89% that they need to hit while also spreading the cap out over the 4 years so it won't be damaging the cap. Like I said, there's just a bunch of different ways to manipulate it that even I am still just learning about it at this point in time. But this also kind of forces teams to kind of make that push. Now, I always talk about this, the teams will make a push when they have a good enough roster to make a playoff run or a Super Bowl run, and they'll go out and get the big free agents. But this is also the NFL's way of kind of forcing teams to go down that path. Teams like the Jets, forcing them to get big free agents. Teams like the Browns, like I said before. And now the Dolphins, Chris Greer said they will be aggressive going out and spending this cap. And now while some of it is because, of course, they want to turn the team around, the rest of it is because they're kind of in a position where they're forced to do so because of this 89% rule they have in place. But I believe when it comes to the Dolphins in particular, they were high spenders in the first 2 years of the window, which is from 2017 to 2020. So 2017, 2018, they were high spenders. Of course, now in 2019, they're on the low end. So 2020, they would have to spend a good amount, not too much. They wouldn't have to go crazy like the Browns did, but they would have to be relatively big spenders in order to get to that 89% number. Now, I want to discuss a little bit the game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs, because this was a very interesting game to watch because of how well controlled it was by the Indianapolis Colts. Because this was a game that I believe many had the Kansas City Chiefs running away with, but Jacoby Brissett continues to manage games, continues to play well enough. And the thing that strikes me the most about this is how much they're able to drag on these drives. We're talking, they are not giving up the ball. They're converting on third down when they have to, and they are just dragging out the time. They're just keeping that Kansas City defense on the field the entire duration of the game and keeping it out of Mahomes' hands. And frankly, that was the key to winning this game for the Indianapolis Colts. Brissett, 151 yards, no touchdowns. He did have a pick, so nothing too crazy there. And then Marlon Mack, he had a pretty good performance with 132 yards, 4.6 yards per carry. And it really seemed like the Chiefs, when it came down to just stopping them, they just could not. And the Indianapolis Colts were willing to force feed him. And then Patrick Mahomes, he had a pretty decent performance, 321 yards. He did have a touchdown, but the Indianapolis Colts forced them to be one-dimensional. The Chiefs could not get anything going, which is very uncharacteristic of a Andy Reid team to see no rushing attack in there. They had 36 yards in total among all their running backs, 2.6 yards per carry. Again, that was for their entire team rushing. So this is probably right here the recipe to beat the Chiefs team. And now I know it's a very easy thing to come up with, like, oh yeah, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. But really, that is what it's going to take. You're going to have to slow the pace down of these games to almost an excruciating level, because that's how it felt watching this game, almost to the point where it was, you know, really interesting. They really slowed down this game so much, which is the polar opposite of what you think of when you think of Patrick Mahomes. So that is what it's going to take if you're looking at how to beat Patrick Mahomes. Teams that I think are capable of doing this, the easy one is the New England Patriots. They could easily do this. This is what they're doing to teams on a weekly basis. So I'm curious to see if more teams that have very good defenses and have pretty decent enough offenses are able to execute this on a weekly basis against the Chiefs. So guys, that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast. That is at Via The Source. I appreciate all the reviews you guys have been leaving. It really does mean a lot. If you have any more questions you would like me to discuss on the podcast, feel free to send them my way. My DMs are open on both of my Twitter, so feel free to reach out. Guys, as always, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.